All right, you guys, check it out. The book is out. Fool's Errand. You always wanted to read a book by me. Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. It's on Amazon.com, and it's now out in Kindle. So you can get it for your Kindle. Check it out at foolserrand.us. And right now we're doing a fundraiser at the Libertarian Institute, especially for those of you hardcore fans who really want to help support this effort. There is no publisher. I'm the publisher. The Libertarian Institute is the publisher. We're trying to raise some money so we can help promote this thing. Send out some boxes of books to get it reviewed and for some travel so I can go to L.A. and do some interviews there and maybe some to D.C. and do some things. So you want to help support doing signed copies of Fool's Errand for $50 donations or more to the Libertarian Institute. That's libertarianinstitute.org/support. Thank you. All right, you guys, and introducing Claire Manera from Doctors Without Borders, and she is on the line from Hamer in Yemen. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, Claire?
Hi. Yeah, fine, thanks. Good to talk to you.
Very happy to have you back on the show. And, geez, I just don't know. I can't even keep up with the headlines. I don't know how you're keeping up with the ill. When you were on my show, what, 6 weeks ago or something, you said that there were 30,000 cases of cholera, I think, if I remember it right. But then the media now says it's 300,000. Is that right? It's gotten completely that far out of control in this time?
Yeah, it definitely has.
Oh, my God.
I think when we last spoke, we were receiving 100 cases a day in our hospitals. So, and then it increased from there.
Man, incredible. Okay, so... I mean, did the Saudis just bomb all the waterworks, or what exactly is the problem?
Well, the problem we're facing now is a lot worse than before, I think, actually, because at least when we're receiving cases in our hospitals, we're able to treat them, and even though they come in extremely sick and on the verge of death, we can treat them. But now the problem is that we're having so many people that are not able to reach us in the hospitals. They're dying in their homes, and we're spending hours traveling every day out to get to them and to provide them with the care they need so that we can keep them alive. And it's absolutely devastating to see this every day.
And then, so it's a bacterial infection, I think you explained before. Is it passed from person to person or only through bad drinking water, or how exactly does that work?
Yeah, it's mainly passed through bad drinking water and also contaminated food. So before the war, people didn't have very good water and sanitation anyway. But now, since the war started, there is definitely a lack in drinking water for most of the people, and most health facilities are not working. So in the time that someone gets sick with cholera, it can kill you in a few hours, and normally they would go to a health facility close by, but they're not open. Yes, some of them have been bombed, but a lot are just not functioning because the country's collapsed. The health system has collapsed.
Mm. Well, so then two questions there. But so if somebody coughs or sneezes on someone else, it doesn't transmit that way?
No, it doesn't transmit that way. It's a fecal oral route. So it's basically if someone gets the bacteria on their hands and then into their mouth, mm-hmm. This is how it passes. So it lives and it survives in feces and excreta.
And then you say it can kill someone in just a few hours?
Yeah, which is the worst thing that I've had to deal with here, I think, because especially in children, they have no resistance at all. And the symptoms are basically intense diarrhea and vomiting, which is a horrible way to die for anyone. But for children, it can just take a few hours. And we know that this is a result of the crisis in the country, and it's the children that are hit the hardest. And I think this is what I find the worst to deal with.
And then, I'm sorry, I think you told me before that really what you do to treat people is just hydrate them first and foremost. It's not even a matter of really giving them antibiotics or anything. It's just making sure they survive the initial stages, and then they'll be okay maybe, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's the dehydration that kills. And it's such a simple way to keep people alive is through rehydration. Even just by sugar and salt and water, people can keep themselves alive and resist cholera, basically. But I think a lot of people don't have the education about this, but then they don't have the clean water anyway to drink. So it's a double-edged sword. If someone has cholera, they need to rehydrate themselves to survive, but the only water they have to drink is contaminated and will kill them.
Yeah. Well, can't they boil it at least, though?
Yeah, this is another way that you can do it. You need to boil the water for 10 minutes, but because of the economic crisis, people don't have the money to be using fuel to boil water. A
Right.
lot of people barely have enough to eat at the moment, so they can't be doing this.
Amazing. But now from 30,000 to 300,000 people, this is just a wildfire then. People are just dropping dead everywhere, right? How many people, what percentage of those 300,000 are going to die of it?
Well, I think we've been lucky in the place that I work. The case fatality rate here has been below 1%. And so this is an acceptable level according to international standards. But in other places, they haven't been so lucky. And now what we're finding is they don't have any way to come to our hospital, and they come very late in the last stages of cholera and dehydration. So they're much more likely to die. At least in the beginning of the outbreak, people came quite quickly to get treatment. But now they have no way of getting transport. And we have families telling us that it's not safe. That because of the war, they feel unable to travel, so they wait and they wait, and then it can be just too late for them because they wait too long.
And I'm sorry, did I get the town right? You said it's Hamer, Yemen is where you are now?
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And I'm sorry, can you tell me where in Yemen that is and how isolated that is from the rest of
Sure.
the population centers and stuff?
Yeah, well, Khmer is in the north of the country, so it's near the border with Saudi Arabia,
Oh, okay.
actually. Yeah, it's quite a few hours away, but it's along this border that there is a lot of the airstrikes and bombing that goes on, and it's a very sensitive area. So I think this is why they've been suffering a lot. Since the start of the war, the Saudis are bombing this area constantly. It hasn't stopped in 2 years, really. So people are having less and less resources just to be able to survive, to be able to eat every day. And cholera has made it worse.
And now, does Doctors Without Borders also have, and for that matter, other charities, are there other efforts going on elsewhere in the country against cholera, or you guys are basically the only game in town now?
No, it's been good actually. Other agencies have really stepped up to do what they can. We definitely need more response by other agencies because it's the rainy season starting now, which is going to have a huge effect on cholera. We're already seeing that as the rains start, the cases begin to increase, especially for families that are living alongside rivers and different water sources. So the bacteria is basically spreading now through the waterways. And in addition to malaria, which comes with the rains as well, we need everyone to increase their efforts to fight against it.
And I'm almost afraid to ask you this, Claire. Is it just cholera?
Well, I'd like to think that I've seen a lot of strength in the Yemeni people, and the ones we've treated in the last few months of this outbreak, they're not willing to just let go to a disease outbreak like cholera. They've been through a lot
Yeah.
already with the war, so this is another blow to them, but but people are still going to fight against it.
Yeah.
But yes, there is all the other diseases coming, malaria plus malnutrition because of the embargo on goods coming into the country. There are some areas that have been suffering without food for a long time as well. So all of these things.
Mm-hmm. And now, so is malaria then out of proportion to, you know, pre-war times as well right now?
I would say that probably the rate, the level of malaria is the same, but the problem is that people have nowhere to go to get treatment. And like right. cholera, malaria will also kill very quickly, especially children under 5 and pregnant women. So before, at least there were functioning health facilities to go to and get treatment quickly. But now there's basically nothing functioning. And people they've had no salaries as well for the last year. So to pay for drugs or transport or food is becoming impossible.
All right, well, now, I guess I'm not sure what else to ask you. What am I missing here? Do you know? Any idea?
Well, I feel like, I don't know, there should be a more hopeful end to the story. That maybe everything I've explained so far sounds like it's too overwhelming for people to really cope with. But...
Now, that's an important point, right? Yeah, no, you don't want the situation to sound hopeless when it's not. You're doing great work. You're saving people's lives there, and people can help with that. It's the kind of thing that, you know, can and must be, you know, fought against, as you say. So, yeah, no, that's a very good point. I don't want to make it sound too aw shucks, what can you do kind of thing, because clearly look at what's happening right now. You're who you are. You're Doctors Without Borders in Yemen right now. Doing the work. So absolutely it can be done. So yeah,
and I think the main thing is that we know that people are willing to do what they can to help themselves, and that the answers for cholera are quite simple. So we just need to be able to do our work properly, and if they can think of having an end to the war and the conflict and people being able to move again freely to go about their lives, then this will accelerate really the end of the outbreak.
Right.
So that's mainly what we're hoping for every day.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as you say, that's really the problem is the simple cure, a bag of saline and a needle is available. It just can't be distributed. All right. Well, listen, you mentioned this last time too, and you just kind of referred a minute ago too, that, you know, there are a lot of other agencies who are also doing great work here. So, I'm happy to give you the floor to plug for how people can contribute to Doctors Without Borders. And especially if they want to specify that this is the issue that they care about is Yemen. This is the one they want to contribute to. And then if there are any other agencies you want to refer people to as well, please do.
Okay, that's great. Well, definitely, I think people can make a huge impact by supporting Doctors Without Borders in Yemen through, of course, extra funds, but as well just basically helping to provide chlorine and oral rehydration solution and saline. These are the main elements that we're using. But other agencies are also doing great work in water and sanitation. This is what's needed right now, I think, is a more lasting solution for agencies like Oxfam and Save the Children to improve the water sources so that people can have some hope in the future to be accessing clean water. Then this will solve a lot of the problems they're facing.
All right. Well, listen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming back on the show to talk about this. And of course, all your great efforts there, Claire.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot, and I'm happy to talk anytime.
All right. Okay, everybody, that is Claire Manera. She is at Doctors Without Borders on the line from Hamer in Yemen, up there near the Saudi border in the middle of a war. treating people from the cholera epidemic. And I didn't lay this on her in the interview because it's politics kind of outside of her purview. I don't want to taint it. But you people need to know, I hope all of you already do, that this is America's doing. That Saudi Arabia cannot wage this war without the U.S. They could have never started this war without Barack Obama telling them it was okay back in February, March 2015. It's going on for 2.5 years now. And when she's talking about these babies dying of cholera, that's because of America. And that can't be avoided. People ask, where's the outrage? Well, here's a little. Pass it on. All right, that's the Scott Horton Show. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Full archives are at libertarianinstitute.org and at scotthorton.org. Thanks. Hey, guys, support my sponsors. I got a new one. Hussein Badakhshani wrote this great book, No Dev, No Ops, No IT, Principles Governing the Ideology, Methodology, and Praxeology of Informed IT Decision Making. It's really good. And that's available on Amazon.com. You can also find The War State by Mike Swanson, who also does Wall Street Window investment advice for you there. And he'll tell you, you should buy some metals. And you do that at Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc., RRBI.co. See how easy to remember that is? RRBI.co. And anti-government propaganda at LibertyStickers.com. Propaganda for your band or your business at TheBumperSticker.com. Get your book, read, and write at 3TEditing.com. And hey, you know, I'm doing that Contra Cruise with Tom Woods and Bob Murphy this October. So just Google Contra Cruise and Tom Woods and you'll find it.